This for argument is Smith versus Executive Director, Mr. Falk.
May it please the Court. Excuse me. May it please the Court. The former policy of the Indiana War Memorials Commission required that Eric Smith obtain a permit to protest in the park and other park-like environments maintained by the commission, even if he was protesting by himself or with a small group. After we filed our brief in this court, the commission announced that it had amended its policy. But even under this amended policy, Mr. Smith will still be required to obtain a permit if, as he's done in the past and he's indicated he will do in the future, he advertises the event, even if no one shows up, which is exactly what happened when this case began in July of 2012. He will also need a permit if, when he shows up, he allows members of the general public to participate with him, which I think is fairly standard in demonstrations. Again, even if no one takes him up on the offer, or if only one or two people do, he will also need a permit if he protests by himself for more than 5 hours. Finally, under the amended policy, if he decides to protest with 14 other people, they will need a permit, even though the commission allows much larger groups, groups of 25 or 30, or presumably more, to engage in such activities as eating lunch together without getting a permit.
Does the new policy do anything at all with respect to the issue about fees and insurance?
No, Your Honor. If the person is required to obtain a permit under a new policy, then he or she or it will be in the same situation of having a fee policy and insurance policy, which is really up to the case-by-case discretion of the commission. The problem, of course, is the amended policy, like the original one.
Why doesn't he ask for a permit? And if it's denied, then he can bring a lawsuit.
Well, Your Honor, he's in a situation where he attempted to protest without a permit, and he was told if he came back, he would be arrested without a permit. And I don't think under the First Amendment anyone needs to engage
in... Why doesn't he apply for a permit? If he gets the permit, he's all set. And if he doesn't get it, then he can complain.
Well, Your Honor, he can't get the permit when he's already announced that he's going to advertise his protest. He can't get the permit when he's announced that he's going to let people join him. You have a policy that is facially unconstitutional.
Can't get a permit.
Well, the new policy, Your Honor, says that even if you have a group of less than 15 people, if you indicate that you have advertised it or if you invite other people, even if you show up with just yourself, you have to get a permit. Mr. Smith.
You don't have to get a permit. Why doesn't he ask for a permit for his 16 people or whatever he wants? And if he gets the permit, he's all set. And if he doesn't get it, then he can complain.
Your Honor, the Supreme Court was quite clear in Watchtower.
Does it cost a lot or what?
Well, it's unclear. What the commission said was that if people who have to apply for permits, they will assess whether there needs to be a fee for a small group.
Well, all right. Suppose he applies for a permit and they say no fee. Here's your permit. Then what's the big deal?
Well, the big deal, according to the U.S. Supreme Court, Your Honor, is asking for the permit when none...
Well, what's the problem with asking for a permit?
Well, you have to identify yourself. You have to identify...
5 minutes or something to ask for a permit?
You have to identify yourself.
For nothing?
Your Honor, you have to identify yourself. You have to identify what you want to protest over.
Identify yourself. What's the big deal with identifying yourself?
Well, Your Honor, I think the First Amendment allows one to participate anonymously.
He's afraid of having his identity known to the permitting authorities because he wants to protest this international treaty? I don't get that.
Well, Your Honor...
If you're using public property...
Yes, Your Honor.
What's wrong with requiring a permit to use public property?
Well, Your Honor...
It's a small area, this monument circle, and you want to have some orderly... A use of the property, not having a whole bunch of people showing up at once and with posters and... Well, I don't get it.
Well, Your Honor, it's not a small area. We're talking about a 26-acre
Oh, come on. We've all seen Monument Circle. It's a small area.
Your Honor, we're talking about
the... He wants to show up with his 16 people.
Policy also applies to the American Legion Mall.
Yes, Your Honor.
University Park.
Yes, Your Honor. It applies to areas where today, Your Honor...
A whole bunch of people show up with their 16 followers at the same time, right?
Well, Your Honor, what happens if 30 people want to have... What happens if 30 people want to have lunch at the same time?
You have to have some procedure for orderly allocation of rights to be there, whether it's for a picnic or for a speech or anything.
Well, Your Honor, there aren't orderly allocations for picnics. The only thing...
Permit.
The only thing that a permit is required for.
Me.
I'm sorry.
Why shouldn't there always be a permit requirement for using public property, just as there is for private property?
Your Honor, the case law is legion that indicates.
Well, give me a reason, not case law.
The reason is if it's narrow tailoring is to me anything.
No, come on. Don't give me legalisms. Give me a practical reason why it's a mistake to have a permit requirement for use of public property.
Because, Your Honor, people should be allowed to enter public property.
But what if a zillion people want to enter the same public property at the same moment?
Well, Your Honor, that's
why. What do you do about that?
But, Your Honor, that's why traditionally permit requirements.
What do you do about it? You
impose a number.
10 people show up at once, each with 16 followers, and they want to make speeches or have picnics or goodness knows what, and it's too crowded. Now, what is the government supposed to do in situations like that?
Traditionally, what governments do, as the Chicago did in the Thomas case, they said if you have 50 people or more, for whatever purpose, you have to get a permit. You set a number. The Warmore Commission hasn't set a number. If Mr. Smith shows up by himself and says, I'm here by myself, no one's here with me, I want to stand in the corner of this large, grassy part of American Legion Mall for 5 hours, I will still need a permit. And, Your Honor, that's not narrow tailoring. I don't mean narrow tailoring in a legal sense.
What if he shows up with 16 people?
Well, Your Honor, I think the commission has the right to set a number at which there are problems, but given that the commission allows 25 or 30 people to come in and have lunch together already on the steps of the monument, then I think 16 is the wrong number. But I think it would be much better situated if the commission had said, below this, we don't care what you're doing, you need to tell us. Or above this, excuse me, we don't care what you're doing. However, that's not what the commission did. The commission is saying, as it was saying back in July of 2012, you're here by yourself, you can't protest, you don't have a permit. And this court in Markovich described the case law from the other jurisdictions and indicated there's a virtual unanimity of case law that strikes down these, a powerful consensus which cannot be ignored. This is not narrowly tailored. And again, it is not a legalism to say that when you deal with the First Amendment, that the government must be able to identify the legitimate interest in a narrow way. And the commission cannot do that because these are parks. These are areas where huge amounts of people stream in and out. And to target small groups of protesters is unconstitutional.
Mr. Falk, as I understand it, the scope of the injunction you're seeking from the district court is one that would leave the commission plenty of latitude with large groups.
Of course.
You're not trying to deal with, for example, let's say a KKK rally on the American Legion Mall or anything like that.
No, Your Honor.
But you want, in essence, a revised policy that allows is a much stronger exception for small groups.
That's
Do
correct.
You have a number?
Well, I think the commission can set the number. And I think the problem with 15.
What number could they set without getting sued?
Well, Chicago said 50. 30 is the number that was bandied about below, just as an example of the number of people who can go in and out of the areas. Certainly, as Judge Posner noted, the steps of the monument may be different, as you noted, than the American Legion Mall. But the number has to be greater than 15 if you have 15 protesters who need a permit, but you have 30 people going to have lunch in the same place, occupying the same place, who do not need a permit. So I think the number would have to be larger than 15, but it has to be bigger than one. And as I said, as it is now, the number for Mr. Smith is one. And there are no cases that uphold that, Your Honor. They are all the cases strike that down as not being narrowly tailored and being substantially overbroad.
So you pegged the number at 30 because 30 is the criteria for having the lunch on the.
And that was in discovery, I just asked 25 or 30, and they said yes.
But, I'm not sure we want your freestyling during depositions to set the constitutional limit. Mm-hmm. And we dealt, for example, in Markavich, there was a problem. For example, there was kind of a bottleneck area. Yes. And so there has to be some flexibility in that standard, depending on traffic flows, topography, and so on. But it's certainly bigger than one. So.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Paul. Mr. Barrow? Ms. Barrow, sorry.
May it please the court, this appeal should be dismissed because it is moot. The commission's new policy gives Mr. Smith exactly what he said he wanted during the proceedings before the district court, which is, excuse me, to go with his son, just the two of them, to the Soldiers and Sailors Monument for a protest.
Ms. Barrow, how is that new policy set? Did the commission have a meeting and take a vote on that?
Yes, in July.
Well, they did. Okay. So we don't have to worry about the webmaster writing a new policy tonight?
No.
Okay. Could you address the, the Northeastern Florida contractor case and the Green case from the Fourth Circuit that the plaintiffs talked about regarding mootness, where it looks like the new policy still has an awful lot of the same issues?
Well, to the extent the new policy must be distinguished from the old policy, in this case, the court cannot address the new policy because none of the issues that Mr. Smith is raising at this stage were addressed at all in the district court. For example, advertising. Now he's saying he wants to go and protest having advertised the event. And the problem is, in the district court, the commission tried to challenge him on that, tried to say, how can you say you want a small group event where you advertise to the general public and have no idea how many dozens or hundreds of people will come? And he protested that the commission was making too much out of the advertisements and drew a sharp line in between those protests where he might want to advertise and what he wanted in his preliminary injunction, which was just to go with him and his son for a small protest at the monument. That's exactly what the new policy gives him. He and his son are fewer than 15 people. He apparently has not advertised. As far as the other issues, like the length of time or how many people, that has never been litigated. And this court, that conversation should not take place in the first instance in this appeal. It has to occur in the district court where both sides can develop testimony and arguments. There was no way in briefing even to anticipate what Mr. Smith's complaints were going to be regarding the new policy.
What are we to make of the language in the new policy that says, the permit applications are strongly suggested in all cases, and that the exception for very small groups is only general?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say that there would need to be evidence regarding how the commission is going to apply that, but I think we have in the record incidences where it would have been very advisable for even one person to get a permit. For example, there was two individuals at separate times wanting to use the Soldiers and Sailors Monument for the purpose of a marriage proposal. Okay, they wouldn't want to take their girlfriend to the monument with some totally unromantic event going on. And those people did file applications, and they got permits.
This really happened?
This really happened.
They got permits, and so you would have, if somebody else had wanted to be there, you would have said no?
Yes.
Nobody could have lunch?
No, that is clearly established in the record, that if you have a permit for any part of the monument, you can exclude other people. You can get the Capitol Police to assist you.
So how much space does it take for a marriage proposal?
Well, the point is, you don't want to be surrounded by other people whose activities are going to distract from your event. This is absolutely the concern of the commission, that people's events, whatever they are successful and go as planned. As far as the particular, how the, like they complain about the definition of event or gathering. Well, we need to find out how the commission defined those terms. But right now in this appeal, the former policy and the only policy definition that they complain about is the him and his son.
Well, under the new policy, would Smith be required to get a permit?
No. No, if he just wanted to get in the car with his son and go to Monument Circle with signs, no.
And stay more than 5 hours?
Well, if he wanted to stay more than 5 hours, yes. But is that unconstitutional? Right now, we have no way of knowing. We've never talked about time limits.
One of the positions I thought I understood from the commission is this really isn't very burdensome, because if you don't have a permit, we'll just allow you to do an on-the-spot application, right?
That's correct.
And that's never been denied.
Correct.
If that's the case, what purpose does the permit serve?
The permit serves so that the commission knows who has been there, if there's any problems, any violence, any property damage. They will know that at this particular time, Mr. Smith's group, large group, was at the monument.
Or small group.
Or small group. But not
for lunch.
Mm-hmm. Not for lunch. And that's the thing. All the way through the proceedings, his whole point was he wanted to be on the same footing as the people who go to Monument to have lunch. And under the new policy, he is on the same footing as those people. And so he does not have to get a permit any more than somebody having lunch at the Monument has to get a permit. And for this reason, the issue before the court regarding the policy that would have required Mr. Smith to get a permit for him and his son is no longer in effect. That was the only issue before this court and before the district court, that policy is no longer in effect. And so, yes.
Finish that.
Well, I was going to just say that if he wants to raise challenges to the new policy, this appeal is not the place to do that.
How does your new scheme address the commission's discretion in granting fee waivers?
That discretion only applies to people who have to get a permit. I would say that anybody who's just a couple of people wanting to have a spontaneous protest would look at this policy and not even go to the second page that talks about fees. They would say, okay, we don't need a permit. And so the fee requirement and the insurance requirements wouldn't even apply to them.
But if you think you want to stay for more than 5 hours, then it does, right?
I beg your pardon?
If you want to stay for more than 5 hours, then you do have to get a permit, and you may be subject to fees and insurance requirements.
Well,
right?
And in that case, the court really can't look at the fees and insurance requirement without first deciding that the time limit is unconstitutional. And at this stage, we don't know. Thank you very much.
Can I ask you one quick question, Ms. Barrow?
Sure.
Did I understand this correctly, that the commission asked for a $10,000 injunction bond?
Yes.
What was that for?
I beg your pardon?
What was that for?
I honestly...
How would the injunction have possibly caused any damage to the commission?
I can only speculate in that he did invite the general public, that he wanted to invite the general public, at least in the protests that he had. This was, I think, before the record was developed, where he narrowed his concern to just him and his son. But I'm not saying today that was necessarily a reasonable request.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Barrow. Mr. Falk?
Thank you, Your Honor. Mr. Smith has not narrowed his request. His first protest, he advertised. Only he and his son showed up. If he does that again, and he said he would for some protests, he needs a permit. Even if he doesn't do that, he will allow members of the general public to join.
If he does that, he will need a permit. This policy has not changed.
So how does it work, though, if he knows he's going to be a very small group, but he hopes it's going to be a bigger group?
Yes.
If it's more than 50, Thomas would seem to suggest that it'd be perfectly reasonable to have a permit under those circumstances.
That's exactly right. And every
so what do we do when you don't know? Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I think every case that has addressed this has looked at who shows up, the numbers that show up. That's what the commission has an interest in. Theoretically, the commission doesn't know that you've advertised. It doesn't know that you've invited people. They did check to see about Mr. Smith's advertisements.
Mm-hmm.
The point is who shows up. And what we have here is a policy that continues to penalize and require permit of very small groups and individuals. And as I said, there are no cases.
So how would you modify this new policy to make it constitutional?
I would say that a permit is required if the group for engaging in any purpose, because in Thomas, the policy specifically said picnics or gatherings or anything, is above X number.
I don't understand how that deals with your problem, though. He invites the general public. He doesn't know how many people will come. He thinks probably only 5 or 6 is his advertisement. It's a little strange. So how does he know whether needs a permit?
He knows he needs a permit if more than that people show up and they cannot gather.
He doesn't know how many people are going to show up.
That's how it is in every case, Your Honor. Every case focuses on the number of people who show up.
I don't understand that. I don't get that. You never know whether you need a permit.
If you're on the cusp, then that's correct. I mean, obviously for some things.
Cusp. You don't know.
For some things you do know, obviously.
Well, he doesn't know.
That's correct, Your Honor.
So what good would your suggestion do him? He'd have to get a permit because for all he knows, more than 50 people will show up.
I think he could reasonably predict his first demonstration that he advertised in the few days would not have produced 50 people.
How could he possibly know that? It's a gun thing, you know. Guns are very popular in Indiana. So I'm looking at his advertisement. We the people. Atrocious act will be committed. Foreigners. A treaty. A treaty that's going to take away the Second Amendment. Please join your fellow citizens. Why couldn't he get 50 people? What, 1 million people? And how many people are there in Indianapolis?
Close to 1 million in the greater area.
Well, look, all he needs is 50. That's a small percentage of the 1 million. Spread the word. It's time to stop being lambs. To conquer a nation, first disarm its citizens. Quotation from Adolf Hitler. I don't see how he would possibly. I think your position is essentially that this new regulation requires a permit of him because he might get more than 50 people.
Your Honor, I think the person who calls a meeting, a demonstration, a picnic runs that risk. If it's more than whatever the number is, they can't do it because there's no permit. I think the problem here, however, is that.
Then I don't see how he's hurt. You agree that you can put a number limitation on these people, and this new regulation ought to satisfy you. I don't understand.
I don't think so.
What do you like about the new regulation?
Well, Your Honor, if he does the same thing he did before, publicize it, and no one shows up, then he has to have a permit. And again, there are no cases that look to your expectations because the harm that the commission is regulating against is the usage of the property by the number of people who show up. And that's our problem, Your Honor.
But the problem for the city is that if they don't know how many people are going to show up, they don't know what kind of preparations to take, and right?
Well, Your Honor, I don't know. I mean, the commission's argument was that all you can do is when you show up, just apply then, and we'll give you a permit. Now, realistically, that didn't happen to Mr. Smith the first time he appeared.
If people show up, what happens next?
They can't gather. But 1,000 people are not going to be generated in a situation where the person is expecting a small group. And I think there's a certain recognition that there's some group protests that are small group protests. And to allow those to be regulated because they can mushroom means that even one person in any situation is always going to be able to have a permit imposed. And there are no cases in America that I think allow for that because of the recognition that you have to be narrowly tailored to satisfy.
Your position is advertising then isn't even a factor, because if it was one person and they didn't advertise, we wouldn't have the problem, would we? If it was 10 people, there was no advertising, because where the risk is when there's advertising, that's when you can't make a determination as to how many people are going to show up, which is probably why they have that, you know, the permit that you can get the day of at the time and you can give the number.
I suppose so, Your Honor. But, of course, if you combine advertising with inviting the general public, when you have a demonstration, I mean, there are very few demonstrations which are members only. I mean, demonstrations are there for people to join. And I think the people run the risk of having a demonstration knowing there's a top number and knowing that at some point they will be escorted or told to leave the property, as Mr. Smith was when he was by himself.
As I understand your position, in essence, the risk is on the organizer.
Of course, Your Honor.
To evaluate how effective you think your advertising is going to be, you know what your audience is, and if you get surprised by a flash mob protesting this dastardly treaty, you disperse and reorganize and get a permit for the next weekend and for 1,000 people.
That's so. Exactly right, Your Honor. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Falk and Ms. Barrow.